Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. This is Primetime Crime. I'm Katrina Daniel. Recently, a bereaved father from Parkland, Florida, did something almost unbelievable. Until you know how dedicated he is to his deceased son and to ending the gun violence that killed his child and 16 others when a whack job named Nicholas Cruz attacked Parkland High exactly 4 years ago. Manuel Oliver, whose son Joaquin was gunned down by Crazy Cruz, has been on a nonstop campaign to try to end gun violence and to bring public awareness to the record number of shootings and the epidemic, not COVID, but gun violence, that's sweeping our country. So, Manuel Oliver climbed atop a 150-foot crane outside the White House, hoping to attract attention to his cause. Manuel Oliver, my guest today, here with the behind-the-scenes story of his escapade.
Father of victim Joaquin Oliver hung a banner demanding gun legislation 4 years to the day that 17 students and staff were killed at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. Recently, there's been an uptick in gun violence at schools in the U.S. According to Education Week, there were at least 10 incidents this year, killing or injuring 19 people. In 2021, 34 school shootings were reported, with more than a dozen people killed. President Biden released a statement saying he mourns with the Parkland families and has called on Congress to pass gun safety legislation and additional funding for programs aimed at reducing violent crime. Joaquin Oliver's family says they won't stop working until there's change.
Mr. Oliver, thank you so very much for joining us to talk about a subject I know is dear to your heart and has actually broken your heart for more than 4 years now. Tell us what you did in Washington a couple of weeks ago that caught the national attention of just about everybody.
Well, thank you for having me here. And I'm assuming that you're referring to the day that I climbed that crane in front of the White House.
Indeed, I am.
That was actually on February 14th.
Right.
During the anniversary, I planned that action like a month before. I was in the White House for a few days outside, and I saw this crane, and I thought it was a good opportunity for me to make a statement. So yeah.
Tell me what statement you wish to make by climbing that crane, and why did you choose that method?
Well, I've been using other methods before.
Yes.
It's not the first thing that I do. And we've been trying to reach the attention of everyone. So everyone will understand that this is an urgent thing and we need to take care of it. This is a serious matter. People are dying every single day. So I met Joe Biden during the campaign. We, of course, as any politician, he offered me multiple things. And then I did all the other bunch of other campaigns between his election, when he was started being the president, to the day that I climbed that crane. And I still do things. I mean, we haven't stopped. What am I demanding? I'm demanding everyone to listen to what's going on, to understand that we're all in a high risk of being shot down. I as of today, it's the first cause of death for kids between 1 and 19 years old, which is incredible and unacceptable that a country like this one will allow that to happen. So it's about exposing the gun industry and the consequences behind the gun industry, and everyone fight for a better future. It's not that hard.
What was President Biden's reaction to your appeals? Not just the crane, but the relationship that you had with him before that. What did he tell you that he would do?
Well, there was a lot of connection because he lost loved ones in the same, not the same way, but the emotional side of losing a loved one, a son, a wife, he gets it. And I thought that that was more than enough. And I still think that that should be enough for anyone to understand that we need to put a stop on this. Besides that, it was our best option. Joe Biden was, of course, my only and best option by then. And then I spoke to President Biden probably 2 weeks ago after the Ukraine and everything. We finally had a chance to spend some time in the Oval Office. And the message is the same. It's about find purpose in life and go ahead and fight for your rights and for the things that you believe, which I do. And I told him that I will keep on doing things like the ones that I'm doing, even including the crane and the message, and end up in jail if I have to. And he agrees with that, because I think that's a good pressure. Honestly, I think that politicians should take advantage of people like me that are creating this good trouble so they can have more chances of pushing forward any bill or anything that citizens are demanding.
Ideally, if you could have a magic wand and make your wish come true, what would that wish be?
Well, I would start by everyone accepting that we need regulations. Everyone accept that. That's what a normal society will do. That's what New Zealand did after a shooting. It was not about politicians just letting everybody know what they need to do. It was about a whole society understanding that that's the right thing to do. So it's not only writing down a bill or an executive order. I don't think that will work here, because there's a lot of love and passion for guns from a lot of people. So and that's why I think it's going to take some time. So even if I had a magic answer right now, it will be let's focus on the next 10 years and start sending the right message. Let's use the advertising industry the way that we do it, and create a new society that will understand things in a different way. It's pretty much what I will answer you if we had this interview 30 years ago in relation to the tobacco industry. That will be my wish. My wish will be let's try to make people understand the all the bad behind this industry. And it happened. So I have hope that the American youth will go in that direction. And that's also something that prevents me from frustrations, you know? I'm not expecting this to be solved in the next or 2 years. I'm not expecting politicians, the ones that are in charge right now to solve this problem. They haven't been able to do it in decades. So I don't see why they will fix it now. So we're gonna need a couple of decades, probably 15 years to make this happen.
How did the cops who arrested you treat you?
Oh my God, very well.
Good.
I don't have any way to compare, because I've never been arrested before, but well, listen, but I have a nice story behind me being in jail. I did everything by the book. I was handcuffed, and then I went to my cell. And there was a special moment, like a couple of hours after I was in that cell. An officer that was kind of directing the operation of putting me behind the bars came to my cell and said, "Hey, Mr. Oliver." I said, "Yeah, how are you?" He had an apple and cookies on his hands. He said, "I want to share my lunch with you because I have lunch and I know that you haven't anything. And wait," and he goes, "because what you're doing is what heroes do. So keep, this is a police officer in charge of the operation that got me there." The story tells us that we have more people that agree with what we're demanding than less people than what we think. There's a lot of people that will certainly fight on our side. They cannot be vocal like I am, and I get that, but they are there. they are able to support what we do. So that was a very special moment. And course, I'm very thankful for that. And other than that, it was, irrelevant. If you compare what happened as a consequence, that, by the way, I need to show in court on May 17th, with what we did and the attention that we got, I will do it 100 times again.
You're aware of the FBI settlement because they did not pay proper attention to the warnings that they were given by Nicholas Cruz. The FBI was found at fault and fined, what is it, $127 million, I believe? What's your take on that?
I think that I've been away from any comment on what money means in here. There's no settlement that will allow me to think that it's fair. I believe that the FBI made a few mistakes, a lot of mistakes. I got a call from the FBI the day that everything happened, the day after everything happened.
Oh, tell me what they said. Can you say?
I don't remember exactly what they said, but it was basically that they made a few mistakes and they are very sorry. But this is hours after my son was shot. So, but again, you know what? I haven't been that guy. There are some parents that will happy answer all these questions related to the crime. And in my case, I think that there was a lot of things going on. We also have a settlement with the school board, and there is another open case with the Broward Sheriff's Office and the FBI. So I don't know who else might also be guilty at some point. I think it's an addition of failures, one after the other. I believe that some people just got away with it. If it was me, I would go after the principal, and I would go after the mayor, and I would go after anyone that was involved at that point. Listen, when an airplane falls down and crashes, it's the pilot that you go after. Something happened, and he is the highest authority in there. When a boat has a problem, there is a captain. So there was a lot of captains in Broward and Parkland that you never heard their names out. The principal, again, there was a principal in that school, and the guy is having a happy life. I don't know where. So because I'm not Justice Department, I'm not a lawyer, and I also know that the system itself has its own failures. I don't have to tell you that after Joaquin was shut down, until today, there's more than, 260,000 people have died. So Parkland was not an exception. Was not an exception. The FBI makes mistakes every single day. And the pain that I suffer, or my wife suffers, is the same pain that a mother will suffer today in Chicago or LA.
Have you ever been threatened by the NRA?
I have, by members of the NRA, not by the NRA itself.
Right.
It could happen. I mean, I'm ready for that and more. We made a campaign where we made them look like fools. So we did this thing in Vegas, and we invited David Keene, who was a former president of the NRA. I don't know if you have seen this piece, but it's receiving all the awards this year.
Oh, good.
I invite you to watch.
Okay.
Everyone that can listen to this, The Lost Class by Change the Ref.
Okay.
It's an amazing campaign. But I have received ugly messages from a lot of people, not only directed to me, directed to my son, which is even worse. But I have to be, you know what, beyond that, because there's a lot ahead of me right now. There's more things that I need to do as a father for Joaquin, way more than I have done so far in my next years. I don't know how many years I'm going to be here, but all of those years I'm going to be doing the I'll be playing my role of father the best way that I can.
You know, Nicholas Cruz has admitted guilt, and now that there's a jury selection process going on, that's been going on for like a month already, they're trying to determine whether he should get the death penalty or whether he should spend life in prison. Do you have an opinion on whether the man who killed your son should die by lethal injection or should he spend his life in prison? What do you think?
I think he should die, not by lethal injection, but we should put him in at school and with a shooter, with an active shooter. So he's afraid, he starts running, and then he will smell the smoke of the gun and the alarm will turn on. And then kids will start dying next to him. So he will need to jump over these dead bodies. And then finally, the shooter will shoot him twice, but he won't be dead still. And then the shooter will recharge and shoot him again two more times. That's exactly how my son Joaquin died, by the way.
That is
so. I've heard. When you ask me if I think it's death penalty the good or the best way to end this chapter, I think it's not even enough. You know, considering the what I just told you, death penalty is not enough. So, and I also think that we have the chance in Florida. We not always have chances to be role models. Actually, usually we don't. But in this particular case, we can send a precedent and a message to the rest of the nation. Like, guys like you will die. So yeah, that's why I think. I mean, a lot of people are concerned about the trial and the fact that my family and other families will need to be there. By the way, we don't need to be there. Some of us decided to be there. Probably all of us will be there. And we'll spend a lot of time listening to ugly things and probably looking at ugly pictures and things that are really disturbing our life as it is right now, which is already not good. So I think that I want everyone that thinks that way to watch the trial. Like, don't leave us alone listening and looking at the ugly stuff. Don't tell me that you cannot imagine what you're going to go through if you don't even try to listen and understand what we're going through. So I think it's a great opportunity for people to react. As an advertiser, as a creative guy, as an artist, I think that this is a great statement that will be easy to access. It's going to be on Court TV, I believe, I'm pretty sure. And you will see the reality behind this. You will see the tragedy, the tears from mothers inside that room. And I don't think it's fair that we do that alone. I think we need support from everybody.
Let's talk about Change the Ref before we wrap up. What's the status? What are you hoping you can accomplish?
Listen, Change the Ref is Joaquin. It's an extension of Joaquin's life. I love when they stop me in some of these places that we visit, and they don't call me, "Hey, are you Manny Oliver?" They go like, "Hey, you're Joaquin's dad." So, and Patricia is Joaquin's mom. But that means that we have done this the right way. We are parents. We do things that kids love. So we found ways to create that language that it's connected with the youth. That's great. We work a lot with March for Our Lives. We work a lot with other groups of kids all around the nation. And that's what Joaquin will be doing. Everything that we do has the music side in it, or theater or art. So he's always very active. We don't stop. We overlap actions. Some organizations will be more than satisfied with the fact that they were able to climb a crane in front of the White House. We don't. We just do that, and then the next day we do something else. So I like that. It's my skate vault, okay? It's my way to keep on moving forward. It's It's not about me. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how Patricia feels. We take care of that. You don't need to worry. It's about how Joaquin felt. And yeah, we're doing good. We have a lot of followers.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it so very much. And I wish you the very best of luck. And I know we'll be talking to you again, Mr. Oliver. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at @PrimetimeCrime_. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.